And on the line, someone looking over at Inland Fisheries, Head of Business Development is Suzanne Campion. How are you, Suzanne? Good morning.
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Okay.
How are you?
It started yesterday, so tell us what's happening.
Okay, so we have a fishy fun at the National Museum of Ireland coming up this Saturday. And it's all about, I suppose, learning what fish and creatures live in our waters. And I suppose starting the conversation about the conservation of salmon, who are facing their biggest challenge yet. So lots going on in the museum, lots of things for children to get involved in. So they can see live fish, they can try an angling simulator, they can see all the creepy crawlies that live in the rivers and streams of Ireland.
When you say the salmon biggest challenge yet, in what respect is that pollution we're talking about?
No. I suppose salmon all over the North Atlantic and the world in general, but we have our own kind of species in the North Atlantic. I suppose everybody learnt about salmon in school, that they come back to their native river and they spawn and then they go to sea and they feed up as small salmon and come back again as, you know, to their home river where they were born themselves to spawn again. And so the life cycle continues. But now there's lots of different challenges facing them. So not alone, you know, do they find it difficult, I suppose, to get out of the river, maybe sometimes because of pollution or other barriers. But when they get into the sea, then there's lots of things that could be affecting them there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the same, I suppose, climate change, the same if the water isn't as cold as they like it, the food mightn't be as plentiful as they need. And there could be big, you know, ships that are trawling at different levels. So, you know, they face an awful lot of hurdles in getting out to sea and getting back into sea.
Sounds like it, all right.
Before you would have seen, say, maybe 20 to 30% of fish getting back, but now it could be down as low as 5%. So of every 100 salmon that go, we're only getting 5 back. So it's no wonder, you know, the salmon stocks are declining all over the place.
Mm-hmm. So it's actually nothing to do with the actual fishery of them, people fishing, overfishing or anything like that?
Well, it could be, you know, every little thing can affect it. So if we have, say, catch and release initiatives going on where we're encouraging anglers to release back the fish into the river if they catch them. And the drift net fishery has been banned now since 2007, so there's no fishing at sea for wild salmon. You can only fish for salmon commercially in, you know, it's called a single stock basis. So it's basically if you're up into a river and you know that the river has enough salmon coming in,
mm-hmm.
then you can have a net there. So in some rivers in Ireland we'd have draft nets, in others we'd have snap nets. But it's a very, very small quota compared to what it used to be. So it's really important that, I suppose, the public at large realise that wild salmon are really under threat, and you know, they have to be helped in every way possible. So catch and release is one of the ways that we do it.
Okay, just remind people that we're talking about Fishy Fun. It's a free event that's happening, and it's for all the family in the Museum of Ireland in Merrion Street, and it's on four p.m. on Saturday. Is it a worldwide problem? I think you said has to do with salmon. It's not just an Irish problem.
Yes, I think salmon stocks are, you know, declining all over Europe, Ireland, North America, and then when you go to the Pacific. The Pacific salmon stocks are under threat as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose we have scientists working on it in Ireland, and Ireland has a really good salmon management regime. But I suppose it's the outside factors that we really can't control, like climate change, that are having the big effect.
Okay. And is it purely, I mean, I know it's affecting a lot of other, but is it particular to salmon only, or is there other fish involved to the same extent, or is it just salmon? Affected by all these elements.
Climate change is having, you know, I suppose it's bringing some, say, warm water species around the coast of Ireland that wouldn't normally have been found as far north or whatever. Then you'd have, you know, salmon are cold water. They live in the sea and in rivers, so they're kind of special. You know, because most fish are either sea fish or mm-hmm. river fish, but salmon do both, and so they, you know, they have to have the right environment wherever they go. So they need really good clean water in our rivers, and they need to be cold. They don't, you know, they don't like hot temperatures. Mm-hmm. So during the summer, say last year when we had the heat wave, they were really, you know, we were really concerned about them, and you know, fishing was banned in a lot of places because they would have been under an awful lot of pressure if they were caught and released back in. They just needed to find a cold pool and you know, stay safe there.
Okay. Museum of Ireland, as I say, Natural History, 4 o'clock, free event for all the family. It's sort of amazing to an extent that people have been saying over the years, Ireland being an island nation, how sort of indifferent we are, apathetic towards fish, and maybe not even eating as much as we should. That's a strange phenomenon. Is it for this country, or is there other islands like that?
I don't know, but I suppose the thing is, you know, the salmon... if we just look at that, it has been iconic in Ireland. You know, we had the jumping salmon on the, was it the 10p piece or the half crown long ago?
Oh, yes, yeah.
We had, you know, Finn McCool and Oisín and the Salmon of Knowledge. You know, it's been kind of bred into us, that salmon, and we've always just probably taken them for granted because, you know, long ago there were lots more of them around, and I mean, there are photographs up in pubs all over Ireland of massive salmon as big as a child, you know, having been caught. But those days are long gone. Mm-hmm. And so I suppose when we bring children in now and we show them, you know, the fantastic display of fish that is inside in the National Museum, that, you know, that's an amazing place to go just to see, you know, everything that's in there. But when we then explain to them, you know, about the life cycle of the salmon, and they can do a colouring competition, and they can see, get the excitement and thrill of actually catching a fish, which would be a salmon, on the virtual angling simulator. You know, we're hoping that it will, I suppose, get them hooked on fishing, on fish, and the importance of conservation.
I mean, many, many years ago, a great pastime, it seems to have died a little bit, probably because of technology. But another great thing that will be talked about is the little creepy crawlies, the microscopic creatures, which is wonderful to hear discussed. So that's going to be a main part of it as well, isn't it, Suzanne?
Yeah, so I suppose when you look into a microscope, you see what's absolutely tiny, if it was on the palm of your hand, you know, exploding into life. And they are fairly scary looking creatures, you know, when you look at them through a microscope, and they really do engage children of all ages. And I suppose like fishing, you know, from 3 to 103, you can enjoy that side of things.
Mm-hmm. And are they as important as everything else as regards maintaining sort of marine life, the creepy crawlies? How important are they?
Absolutely. I suppose when you have, you know, very clean water, you have one particular, or, you know, particular types of fly life, bugs and creepy crawlies, mm-hmm. and they're the fish food. And then if water gets dirtier or deteriorates, those, the really good, nice flies that you see may die off. And then they're replaced by other more sluggy, wormy-looking things. So what we do is a kick sample, and you kick over a stone, and when you turn it upside down, you see all the different things that are crawling around in it. And that's a really good indicator, you know, if you've nice flies on it, of really good, healthy water. Mm-hmm. So that's all explained to the children. And then they have cards where they show pictures of them, and then they can look into the microscope and try and figure out which one is which.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing the life that goes on. All right, finally, before I let you go, just tell us about the virtual fishing simulator that the kids can try out if they want to try the hand at fishing, say.
Yeah, so it's great crack. I've done it myself, and it really does feel like the real thing. For kids, again, of any age, you're basically set up with a rod and line, and you, the simulator comes on, and so, you know, you can feel your bait in the water, and next thing you can see a fish coming to it, and then the fish, you know, actually snaps at the bait and catches it, and the rod and reel just buzzes off, and you have to reel the fish back in and then land it in a net. And it's virtual, but you can see what's going on, and it really feels like the real thing. So it is good fun.
And the good thing about it too is, I mean, I was just talking to someone about golfing earlier on, but fishing, it can be a very, how can I put it, an economy-friendly sport for you. It just depends on yourself, doesn't it? It can be just a bit of string on it.
Yeah. Well, I suppose if somebody wants to take up fishing, there are loads of clubs all over the country. And they generally have open membership, and you can just, you know, it's generally quite reasonable to join them. But sometimes if you just want to go sea fishing, or there's public water in your local area, you know, you can just go fishing. But I suppose the best thing about these kinds of events, and what we do in Land Fisheries Ireland and with a lot of clubs and federations, is we bring people fishing to get them started. Because, you know, sometimes people are a bit hesitant and they don't know what it'll be like, and they don't know how to put the bait on the line, and they don't know how to cast or whatever, and they might be a bit unsure. So this is hopefully going to, you know, give them a little bit of confidence of what it might be like, or even just to get them, again, hooked on fishing. That they go, oh God, I like the feel of this. Okay. You know, I'll get somebody to bring me, or I'll join a club, or I'll do something.
Okay, it's a terrific pastime. I haven't done it in many, many years, but I do remember doing it when I was young.
You'll have to get back in. We can organise.
Okay. Anything else, Suzanne, before I let you go?
There's also, I suppose, if people can't make it to the museum, and we'd love to see them there, there's a colouring competition that's downloadable. There's also a citizen science salmon project, where if people are fishing for salmon, they can collect scales and send them back into us. All the licensed distributors would have envelopes and so on. There's a salmon pins program that if you catch and release a salmon, you can get a hashtag CPR saves fish. So catch, photo, release, release saves fish, as opposed to giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And there's a wild salmon showcase at the Dingle Ocean World Aquarium and at the Galway Atlantiquaria if people are travelling over the summer and get a chance to see those. So lots going on, really.
Okay, it's really exciting, all right. But people should go in to the Museum of Ireland this Saturday at 4 o'clock and just have a look around. It's a free day for the family. Sounds fascinating. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme, Suzanne.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you, bye. And that is bye-bye. And that's Suzanne Campion there.